Do you like the work we're doing here at It's All Journalism? For as little as a dollar a month, you can help us continue the conversation about good journalism. Show your support by donating to our Patreon campaign. Go to itsalljournalism.com and follow the link at the top of the page to donate. Welcome to It's All Journalism. This is Michael O'Connell in studio with Nicole Agresco. Hello, Nicole.
Hey.
And then also on Skype, our faraway producer, Amber Healy. Hello, Amber.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great. We're all in studio because this is our big end of the year podcast. We're looking back at all we kind of accomplished over the years, sort of count down our top episodes, and then maybe look a little bit forward into 2018 and talk about some of the things we've got planned. How was your 2018, Amber?
It was busy. Second full year living back home in Buffalo. I have a new niece. Her name is Nora. I went to about 40 concerts and generally tried not to get myself into too much trouble.
Living the good life in Western New York. Excellent.
Doing what I can.
How about you, Nicole? How was your year? You did this podcast, but you also started your own podcast.
Oh, yeah, that did happen this year. It was, we were saying kind of offline before we started talking, every time someone mentions something that apparently happened this year, I'm just shocked that it did, in fact, actually happen this year, because it feels like it could have been years ago.
Yeah. It's been a pretty jam-packed year, not just podcast-wise, but world-wise.
World and news-wise, yeah.
But we're gonna concentrate on our little corner of it. So,
did stuff happen? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think some of that we tried to reflect in the podcast. But anywho, so we were discussing about how we would want to do this. We want to talk a little bit about what we got planned for the coming year, what are some of the big highlights of the year. But I think to sort of get moving on our top 10 podcasts that we had for the year. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to count down the top 10 podcasts. We're going to play a little clip from each so we can remind everybody who we're talking about. And then we'll just sort of share a few thoughts about that interview. So the first one, our number 10, is Joy Mayer. She is an engagement strategist with the Reynolds Journalism Institute.
That to me is, I like to call it Wizard of Oz journalism. It's, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. We know what we're doing. You're lucky to have us. You will take what we give you and you will like it. And instead of really investing time and understanding what people need from you, you know, not just throwing out a question and waiting for people to respond and then patting yourself on the back because you've engaged. It's like, you know, real engagement happens when you're adjusting what you're doing based on the feedback you're getting and where your coverage is really influenced by what you're getting back. That's a relationship.
This is one of those podcasts that sort of came about because I was thinking about things at my day job, about how to use data analytics, how to, you know, reach people through comments and how to interact with people on social media. And Joy was just, she was a joy to talk to. She just a bundle of energy and information about, you know, how newsrooms can communicate and how important it is for us to establish a rapport with our audience, to making for better reporting, making for better content.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I'm thinking about a story that I wrote this year at my day job at Federal News Radio. And it was all because a reader said, hey, I'm having trouble with this donating to this place that I was told I could donate to as a federal retiree. It's not working. And when I read his comment, I just thought, oh, okay, well, you know, he's just not getting it. He's not seeing what he needs to see. He, you know, something's not working on his end. And then when I looked into it a little bit more, he was 100% right. And, you know, ended up writing a story about it. And it turned out it was something that happened that went wrong on the agency's part. And, you know, it was a whole story. So, I mean, responding to what readers are commenting and what they're saying, I think, is really important.
All right. Amber, did you have any thoughts about Joy?
I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I think, you know, that this is what we're trying to do, right? We're trying to be engaging with our, whether it's a reader, a listener, a watcher. There's a fine line between clickbait and, like, really quality information. And I think, you know, the more people think about it, and this is something that I'm doing now in my new job, thinking about how to make things attractive and interesting without sort of selling things short. There's a fine line to walk, but I think Joy really, you know, the better, the more tips we can make available to people, the better.
So our next clip is our number 9 podcast, and that was Julia Goldberg. She's a professor of creative writing at Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
To me, teaching has been a lot about talking people out of thinking they hate journalism and making them love it. And I think the book in a lot of ways is sort of a, calling it a love letter is a little bit say, but you know, it's a little bit of, to me, a love letter to how much journalism means to me and all the journalists who have influenced me and inspired me. And I think now more than ever, it's really important to keep reminding people how important the work journalists do is for our society.
This was a fun interview. I had read her book, Julia's book about writing, shortly before I started my class that I was teaching in podcasting. And it was a really nice experience talking to her about how she teaches writing to people who aren't used to writing, but then also how journalists who've been around for a while can sort of get jazzed about writing again.
Yeah, I remember this one in particular, and I remember thinking that it seemed like such a no-brainer, you know, but the more we read, the more our brains are, you know, awake and engaged, and we learn new words, and we read cool phrasing, and it really does make a difference as a writer to have just read something really great. I think there is sort of a lot of inspiration that can be pulled from that.
I remember hearing this and just thinking, all of the ideas resonated with me very much, but it's just so hard to find time sometimes to read. When you're on this cycle, this endless news cycle, and you're going, it could be so hard sometimes to just find time to read something that you know, it could just be about a hobby or something that you want to read. That J.K. Rowling Harry Potter Cursed Child book has been on my bookshelf forever, and I haven't been able to read it. And that's a poor example here of a book, but I wish I had more time to read.
Right. The thing is that we all use writing in our jobs. And you write, Nicole, you know, what, 5 to 10 stories a week?
Sometimes.
Somewhere in there. That's a lot, you know, and just how to stay inspired so that you're not just like feeling like you're cranking stuff out. And actually, you do a pretty good job of mixing up your writing, I think. Anyway, our next number 8 podcast, top podcast of the year, Matt Pearl. He's a solo video journalist from Atlanta. Great little conversation about a book he had written about how people can become, you know, one-man bands in producing video.
I had envisioned this as a triumphant moment where, you know, I didn't quite know what it would look like because this was a one-year-old baby, but I assumed that it would be a very happy, joyous moment, and that would be the climactic moment of the piece. And what actually wound up happening was when the doctors turned on the implant device and the baby, his name was Max, when Max heard sound for the first time, he started crying and he was angered by it. It was a foreign noise to him. He didn't know what was going on and it was a very abnormal reaction. At least that's what I thought. It turns out it happens quite frequently. And then after about a few minutes, the light kind of went on and then he started smiling, and then you could tell he was reacting to people's sounds, and that change took place. And that wound up becoming the climactic moment of the story. So I always, in terms of finding stories and then telling them, I try to remain open. I try not to go into anything with too many preconceived notions. When I arrive on the scene of something, I'm always looking for the story to unfold to me. I try not to impress what I think will happen upon it.
Yeah, podcasts that we have around video production tend to do really well. And Matt's was a really great discussion about how to produce, you know, really engaging video, but also how to tell stories. And, you know, he's talking right there about an incident that he had and answering the question of, you know, how much pre-planning do you need to do? How much do you have to rely on once you show up there, letting the story tell itself?
I really loved his stories about working in a smaller market and learning how to become that one-man band, because I feel like it really is those small places where you can just learn a ton. And if you start off right away working at like NBC New York, it's going to be harder for you to learn those skills. He might not be where he is today because, you know, if he made a move like that. And that really resonated with me, I know, just thinking about different pieces of advice that I heard when I was in college.
Yeah, I think, Amber, you'd like this guy because he was, one of his early jobs was producing video, sports videos in Buffalo.
any mention of Buffalo is going to get applause from me. I am completely totally biased when it comes to my hometown. But I think to your point, Nicole, you know, when you start off in a market that maybe isn't quite as big, it's a lot like working in community newspapers, which I think we all came from to some degree or another. You learn how to do everything. You take your own photos or your own videos. You write up your own stories or your own in broadcast, as I'm learning, your own story scaffolds. And you gain a level of skill and expertise that I don't think you would get in a bigger place where there's other people to do stuff for you. And seeing firsthand reporters that are sort of tasked with coming up with a story idea, taking their camera out, shooting the footage, editing it down, putting their packages together, it's a lot of work. And I have what he's doing as a video journalist, a multimedia journalist, whatever you want to call it, it's daunting. It's really impressive to see people do this every day.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Agreed. Our next number 7 is Madeline Sklar. She's a Twitter and marketing specialist and is the host of the Twitter Smarter podcast.
It's kind of normal to tweet a lot. Like that's, the shelf life of a tweet is so short. So on Facebook, you certainly don't post 20 times a day, but you can totally do it over on Twitter, which is really cool. So you just want to put together a promotion strategy, which is really no different than anything else that you would be promoting, like a podcast or anything else, and just, strategize the different areas you want to promote it and then just start doing it and don't stop.
This was the second time Madeline had been on the podcast, and I was looking for somebody else to come back on and looking for her to come back on and talk about Twitter because she's been so successful on it. And, I think she had a lot of great tips for how to get the most out of that as a platform for not only just pushing your content, but also establishing relationships and looking for, sources out there to improve your writing.
I love her advice about not just using social media and Twitter in particular for self-promotion and really creating those relationships, starting out with like, hey, I liked your post, going to, full conversations. I think that shows the development that, many of us have with sources as we go and work on stories for whether it's a month or 6 months or a year. And using social media as a tool to develop that, I think it's wonderful. She's got great advice in here.
I think Madeline's episode, there are a few episodes that I edit here that remind me, I need to do that. I should really start doing this one skill in my day job here. And her episode was one of those for me, just thinking about things that I should be doing when I'm on Twitter, social media, talking to sources, searching for sources, that kind of thing.
Okay, our next podcast, number 6, is Andrea Wenzel. And I'll interject at this point after I introduce her. Andrea is a senior research fellow at the Tao Center for Digital Journalism. But anyway, what I wanted to interject was the fact that she was our number 1 podcast in 2017. She's the champion of social journalism, actually going out in communities, finding those stories basically on the street level, actually setting up places where you can meet members of the community, find out what their concerns are, find out the best way to communicate to them and get the stories that they need to help, improve their lives.
They were kind of getting the advantage of having this face-to-face interaction with people from these neighborhoods, but in a way that it was sort of more trusted and kind of people could engage with them or not on their own terms. So it's interesting. They did this big experiment and they found out, it's maybe not these like kind of fancy new things, but it's, combining, we have this great digital platform, but we also need to combine it with, old school face-to-face outreach as well. So that was, I thought, an interesting result from their experiment.
So I was really glad to see that Andrea showed up on this list again. She's been on the podcast 3 times. She's reached out to us the last 2 times. This is something, this gives me an opportunity to tell people that if you've got a good idea for a podcast or a topic that you would like us to discuss, reach out to us, drop us an email or something at editor@itsalljournalism. We'd sort of established a relationship with Andrea. So every time she starts one of these new social journalism projects, this one that we talked about here was in Chicago, but we had one about her in rural Kentucky. And last year we had one in Los Angeles, and that was the one that was our top podcast of the year.
I really love her work and her approach to it. If we're telling stories about people, we need to talk to people. We need to let them talk to us.
Duh.
Yeah.
Right? It should be.
If I'm remembering correctly, Andrea is the one she's behind Curious City. She was part of it. She helped that project to me is just incredible. I don't know. I'm a little jealous of anybody that gets to work on that because I just think that concept is so cool. They've done some really neat episodes on their podcast, their show, whatever you want to call it.
So our next podcast is one, number 5. This means a lot to me, and I'm really glad that this one showed up. It's the last interview that I had with Steve Buttrey. He is the director of student media at Louisiana State University. He'd been on the podcast in the early days. He was one of my instructors at American University. He was a great friend of the podcast, and anybody who has been in journalism and digital journalism in the last 10 years knows who Steve Buttrey is. He passed away earlier in the year in his, I believe, his third bout of fighting cancer. He meant a lot to me, and his philosophy is kind of woven into what this podcast is about, journalists becoming smarter and better using digital tools to tell stories that are going to affect change and mean something to people.
We just need more good conversations about ethics. I don't think we need, you know, rules that say you should never, ever, ever do anything that could potentially involve you in a community activity that might be covered by the news, because that would isolate us from the community where you get a lot of good news tips.
Yeah.
Make for a bad and boring life that, you know, we'd be bad parents, we'd be bad citizens, you know, we wouldn't develop personally and spiritually the way that we need to, and we wouldn't be able to attract good journalists to such a restrictive occupation.
And to be fair, I think one of the reasons that this did so well was because the headline was, you know, should journalists go to church? And I think that probably was... That was a little provocative, but that all came from, I mean, here's a man who, you know, again, was in his third fight with cancer and was still engaged in trying to improve journalism. And he had written this article about ethics and how transparent journalists needed to be about what organizations they were involved in. And so when I saw that he'd written this, I reached out to him and we had this great conversation.
Yeah, I took a ethics journalism class in college, and I think it was the best class that I took in college. It was definitely the best one in the journalism program. And I mean, yeah, we just kind of walked through different scenarios and talked about how we might approach them. And I mean, we talked about general broad principles or values that we might want to follow, but most of the class was our conversations about how we might apply them in real life. I mean, I think he's right. We could probably use more of those discussions, especially now, maybe more than ever.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I remember listening to this one and really it opened up so many doors of thought and opportunity for thought of, you know, I never thought about this that way, you know, this way before. Journalists going to church. I mean, we might be more hard pressed to find a journalist who confesses, to going to church on a regular basis than maybe in other professions. But I was with some friends years ago, and they debated whether reporters should vote. It's the same kind of idea, and I'm glad that he asked those questions.
Yeah. Our next podcast number 4 for 2017, was my conversation with Ryan Craggs, an editor and audience development strategist with Condé Nast Traveler.
You're assuming that everyone is excited about Krispy Kreme. I think you're lowering the ceiling and lowering the audience on that story, because now you're only looking at hardcore Krispy Kreme people. Whereas if you say Krispy Kreme is coming out with a Nutella donut, you have people that like Krispy Kreme, people that like donuts, people that like Nutella. You know, it's just like, I think it expands the audience and raises the ceiling on the number of people who will care about that thing. Whereas trying to game it so that people click more, I think you're lowering the ceiling. So, you know, like, I think it would be more important to have 1 million people see a story and then maybe get 10,000 to click, as opposed to 100,000 people to read the story and then get maybe 10,000 to click still. You know, you have a better percentage of people clicking, but you ultimately end up with sort of the same amount of clicks, and you just lose people who would have seen it in the first place.
I'm not too surprised this one is up here. This is another one of those ones that, you know, addresses a concern that I have every day, is how to make headlines that are clickable, that represent what the story is about, but, you know, help you with your mission as well. So you, not to create clickbait, but to create things that engage and incite people and get them interested in your story. And Ryan had written this article about it. I thought it was really fascinating. And we had a great conversation about how to write good headlines. And that's just practical, you know, knowledge that people need every day when they do their job.
And how many of our, I mean, look at the top 10 that we're going through right now. How many of them are about, in some way, shape, or form, engagement?
Most
and what it takes to have good engagement. I mean, this is a real big question right now, and I think it's great.
Is Ryan the reason for the bane of my existence every day here and submitting multiple headlines for a story that I write?
Actually, Ryan and Joy are probably a bit of that.
They're right.
It's all part of the same deal, man. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So, and I'm going to have a quiz for both of you. You sort of jumped the gun here in saying what type of podcasts these are, but I'm going to challenge you both to think about what stories and topics are not in this top 10. Our number three is Neil Augenstein from WTOP Radio. He was also the creator of the Investigation Continues podcast. He's been on a couple of times, but this was the time he came in to talk about that podcast.
I traveled down to a little town where the trial is going to be held in Bedford County, Virginia, a place where I normally would never have traveled, probably. But, you know, I got to learn a little bit about the people there and the beautiful landscape there. And I saw the place where supposedly the girls were eventually brought. You know, I think that being able to picture that in my mind's eye at the time and describe it and to integrate it into the podcast, it will really help to paint a picture. I think that it does raise some possibilities, you know, some great possibilities for a reporter, but it also raises some challenges, I think, in the storytelling, because a reporter is able to tell a story as it happens, but you know, podcasts don't necessarily happen instantly. So there's, you know, a real difference between my day job of reporting breaking news and the podcast, which allows a story to sort of percolate over days and weeks and months.
And I think one of the reasons that this did so well last year was that his podcast did so well. I think people were looking for anything about that particular podcast. And if you haven't listened to Investigation Continues, you can find it on Podcast One. It's an excellent podcast, true crime, about the Lyons sisters' case, which has been open for, I think, 40 years. And they just convicted the perpetrator, the murderer of these two girls. It was a really terrible story here in Washington, D.C., and it turned out to be the source of a great podcast.
I miss hearing his voice every day.
Well, we hear him quite a lot. We see him all the time around here. Speaking of podcasts, our number two is also about podcasts. This is the only podcast in our top 10 for 2017 that actually came from 2016. This is my conversation with Nigel Poor, the producer of the Ear Hustle podcast. I did this interview at Podcast Movement 2016 in Chicago.
What is so thrilling about it is that it's a different world, and it's a world that most of us don't have access to. And so I'm always curious about going someplace new and being challenged and having my assumptions changed. And of course, before I went into prison, my mind really only saw it as a place that was sculpted by what I read in the newspaper and what I see in you know, movies and such. So to go in there and to see such a different world and to meet men that it's men there. I mean, to meet men that have done some terrible things and are in the process of rehabilitating themselves is fascinating to me. Like, I'm so curious about the worst of us and the best of us, and most of us don't have an opportunity to know that. But if you've committed a horrible crime and you are interested in rehabilitation, you have to really reach back and understand who that person was who was capable of doing it, and then who you are now. So it's really about human nature for me, like what makes us who we are.
Yeah, I apologize for that. Obviously, that audio was recorded in a hallway. I should have like grabbed her and shoved her into a closet and interviewed her there. But, you know, one of the reasons this is really up there, it is compelling. It's a great podcast if you haven't heard it. It's on PRX Radio Lab. It's called Ear Hustle. It's about prison. It takes place in San Quentin Prison. Nigel volunteers there, produces a podcast with two of the prisoners there. It's a pretty astounding podcast. And I'm sure, as good as our podcast is, I'm sure that one of the reasons it's so high, especially since it's something from last year, is because since January, their podcast has premiered and has, you know, been everywhere. It's been featured everywhere. So I think some of those listeners have come over, and hopefully they're sticking around listening to our podcast. But it's a really insightful interview for a really insightful podcast.
I'm looking at the write-up here, and it's mentioned that they were finalists in a podcast competition.
Yeah, they won the competition between when we ran the original podcast and when we switched over into Podcast One in February, when most of the people started downloading it. That's around, I think, when they premiered. It's been a huge podcast, and I've been listening to catching up on some of the episodes. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, that was maybe one of my favorite new things that I listened to this year was Ear Hustle. And the really cool thing about that show is that they get all those guys to do everything for the podcast. Like, they produced the music, which is awesome. They have some great, like, tracking music in the background. The theme song is written by the guys in the prison. They tell some really interesting and incredible stories that I never would have thought I would have heard before. So I see why that episode's number two.
Yeah, the last one I listened to, it starts out with, "We're really sorry that we missed, that we had a delay in posting. There was a riot and the prison was closed down for two weeks."
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. That contributes a degree of realism to it, I suppose. So our last one, and I will say I'm a little surprised by it, but pleasantly surprised, is my conversation with Rich Gordon. He's a professor and director of digital innovation at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. We talked about innovation and entrepreneurship and journalism products.
Every organization now needs to have and create new publications and media products, and not just news organizations, by the way. Every company, every brand, every nonprofit organization, every government agency probably has email newsletters, websites, maybe apps, and a need to communicate its story to its stakeholders. And the process of building a successful media product is the same, whether, in my opinion, whether you do it at a news organization or a non-media organization. You have to understand who your users are. You have to understand what they need. You have to develop content for them. You've got to figure out how to get it to them. And then you have to be able to measure whether or not it is working, whether it's successful, whether it is building engagement, whether it is helping accomplish the goals of your organization. And all of these are skills that I think can be learned. And I think that journalists are actually well positioned to be successful in that space because they understand content and storytelling, which is really at the core of this, what they need to be successful on the product side is the other skills that complement their understanding of reporting and storytelling.
Well, again, I said I was a little surprised at this, but maybe I'm not. I think this is a journalism products, you know, whether you create an app or a game or some other entity or even just launching a podcast or launching an online publication. It's this idea of, you know, new journalists coming in and not just looking for a job at a newspaper or a TV station or something, but actually creating a product from the ground up, a journalism product from the ground up that they can promote and grow. So I think there are a lot of people who are interested in that.
That's not necessarily surprising to me that other people are interested in getting into that. It seems as if, you know, we've been talking about alt weeklies closing or laying off staff. And I think the point was made at the live show that we did a couple of weeks ago that, you know, there's too much talent out there for the number of writing and producing and broadcasting jobs that are out there. And so it would make sense to me that creative people would want to make creative things.
Yeah.
Everybody needs writers. I don't care what you do, who you are, what kind of company you work for. You need somebody who can talk about what you do in a way that's easy to understand. And really, again, you know, to your point, Nicole, people with a communications background, we are probably more in demand than we realize. Because everybody needs us.
Yeah, our skills are not always immediately recognized, but they are useful in a lot of different ways. So, Amber, you mentioned there are a lot of, you know, skills-based, engagement-based, or even engagement-focused. Considering the types of topics that I found myself talking a lot about during the year, do you notice there's anything that's missing from this top 10?
There's no politics.
There is absolutely no politics. There's no mention of Trump. There's no mention of fake news.
At all.
At all. It's interesting. Maybe it's not too surprising. I think maybe, you know, people, it helps us to define what our podcast is about. And I think if you look at these, you know, we talked about skills, about engagement, and about improving the way we do our jobs. I mean, that's been the core of what we've set out to do. So it shouldn't be surprising that those are the things that people are more interested in. The other things, like how to cover politics, how to deal with the Trump administration in your job and ethics and things like that. I mean, I think people are interested, but, you know, those aren't the things that large groups of people maybe are interested in. Doesn't mean we're going to stop doing those. But maybe we'll have some more video ones. Maybe we'll have some more practical skills ones going forward, more digital skills ones. So definitely do that. I'm always looking for stuff like that. So to sort of wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about what we've done in the podcast this year, besides these 10 episodes and the 40 odd other ones that we did in the year. Early in the year, our big jump for us is we started posting our podcast on Podcast One. Podcast One is a company, a podcasting platform that's owned by Hubbard, which owns the radio station that Nicole and I work at. This is our podcast. It's not a Podcast One podcast. It's not a Hubbard podcast. It's something that we produce outside of our daily jobs. So we're independent of that, but by being on Podcast One, it's given us a great deal of exposure. It's increased the number of downloads we get every week, which we're really happy about that. It's given us opportunities. We had a wrestling journalist whose name escapes me at the moment.
Wade Keller. Don't ask me how I remember his name right now.
Yeah, he reached out to us when he was going to show up on Podcast One with his new podcast and said, hey, this looks like a podcast I'd like to be on because I'm a journalist, a wrestling journalist. And that was a fun conversation. So, you know, maybe moving forward, we'll have other opportunities like that. We will see. Also this year, we premiered our new music and artwork, which I'm really happy with, both from the artwork from Carolyn Bilewski and the music from Nick Dupre. So really pleased with that. We also launched our Patreon campaign to great fanfare and little success. We're hoping to grow that a little bit more in the coming year. I'll put a little more effort into that. We also just started a weekly email newsletter. You can sign up for that on our website. I encourage you to do that. We're going to have exclusive content to the newsletter. We're going to be hopefully having some exclusive audio content in there very soon. We'll have some opportunities to do reader polls, surveys, so you can provide input on the podcast moving forward. So please, please, please go ahead and sign up for the newsletter on our website. And because we've been talking about engagement, so that's your part of the job. You need to engage with us. We're reaching out to you. Nicole just mentioned it. We had a live event a few weeks ago, which was a great success. And the National Press Club has invited us to come back in the new year. And it looks like maybe February. As soon as February, we'll have another live event going on in D.C. And we're looking forward to doing more live events throughout the year. You know, personally, I had my book published, my podcasting book published, and I just finished up my first course of teaching podcasting at American University. I'm really pleased about that. And what I'm hoping to do in the new year as part of this podcast is start doing pop-up podcasting clinics in the D.C. area at local colleges, but also at colleges around the country. I'm going to be at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana in February to do one of these pop-up clinics. But if you'd like to have me or Nicole and me coming out to do a training session with you for podcasting, let us know. That might be something we'll be doing in the new year.
What? No road trips?
No road trips. Maybe we'll do road trips.
Come on up. Know some good places.
Here's my vision for this. This becomes so successful that you're able to have a pod.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what we call the little van or the little, you know, vehicle that you arrive in with all of your podcasting equipment and where you do the clinic.
Yeah.
It's called the pod.
I like to think of it as something like the Mystery Machine, perhaps.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Where there'll be lots of snacks in the back, perhaps Scooby snacks, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just a VW bus that's gutted out. And
yeah, that we could train people how to do podcasts and solve mysteries
At the same time.
Right. We can go up to
that's probably a podcast right there.
Yeah. We could do the mystery of Darien Lake. We can go up to Western New York, right?
There we go. Sure. We'll find you something good. Just bring Neil along since he's your investigative guru here.
We will do that. thank you all for listening to our podcast, supporting us. We're looking forward to having more fun and more podcasts in 2018. And I hope you have a good holiday and New Year season. You too, Nicole, and you too, Amber.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find out more about us and download past episodes at itsalljournalism.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Podcast One. It takes a lot of people to make an episode of It's All Journalism. Nicola Grisco produced this episode. Amber Healy wrote our web content. Nick Dupre wrote our theme music. And I'm your host, Michael O'Connell. If you like the work that we're doing here at It's All Journalism, why not support us on our Patreon campaign? Go to itsalljournalism.com and follow the link at the top of the page. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to continue telling the story of good journalism. And while you're on our website, why not sign up for our weekly newsletter? You can get the latest news about It's All Journalism, exclusive content, reader surveys, and news about upcoming live events. Just follow the link on our website to sign up for our weekly email newsletter. It's All Journalism is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.
The Target USA podcast with your host, J.J. Green.
Russia
could render huge harm to this country.
North Korea's secret missile
that could touch the whole of the United States.
ISIS.
D.C. is repeatedly mentioned as someplace they would like to see an attack.
This is J.J. Green. Join me each week for the latest on U.S. and international security on Target USA.
The Target USA podcast. Find it on iTunes, the Podcast One app, podcastone.com, or at WTOP.com. Search Podcast DC. The Finish the Game podcast with your host, Sean Alexander.
Draw play to Sean across the 10, the 5, touchdown Seahawks.
Hey, this is Sean Alexander, NFL MVP. Check out my podcast, Finish the Game, where I discuss sports and life lessons helping you become an MVP.
The Finish the Game podcast. Find it on iTunes, the Podcast One app, podcastone.com, or at WTOP.com. Search Podcast DC.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.